Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to HCG Body Talk on Blog Talk Radio, where we discuss how to achieve the health and body of your dreams one day at a time with HCG Body for Life. How to stay semper fit, fit for life. Please welcome your host, international HCG diet coach, author, and creator of HCG Body for Life, Colin F. Watson. HCG Body for Life, for the body of your life.
Hey guys, it's Colin F. Watson, the HCG Diet Coach and author and creator of HCG Body for Life, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, HCG Body Talk. And today's topic, we're going to be covering the HCG Diet Protocol and exercise. And the reason why I decided to do this show, because we get a lot of, it looks like the buzz finally is getting out there that exercise is not only allowable on this protocol, it's actually recommended. The recent Dr. Oz episode that he covered, HCG Diet Protocol, where he had Dr. Sherry on, who did a study of about 1,000 patients over the last year, basically to kind of give him some research on how the protocol worked, if it worked, if it was for real. And she came back to say, yes, it was for real, and that she had made some modifications. And those modifications included, you know, increased dose of HCG, increased protein, and exercise, which is something we talked about in HCG Body for Life a couple years ago, and that's what we do in HCG Body for Life. But all exercise is not created equal, and that's why I really want to do this show to kind of answer some of these questions about what type of exercise seems to work best, because I've tried most of them just to see, and which ones tend to have some tend to create some problems, and why they create problems. And what you can do to try and get past that, or how to know which is the best exercise for you. We have people that they're either in our coaching program right now, and they have the exercises, but they have their own exercises they want to do at home. They have different tapes, or you know, they're the fan of the P90X or the Insanity, or what have you, or some other type of exercise, and they're frustrated because they seem to be having some stalls and lower losses. The numbers seem to be slower, and they're frustrated, and they think it's because of the exercise, and it may be because of the type of exercise. So I really wanted to talk about exercise in general, what it's for, you know what it does. Some of the thoughts that came to my mind is, you know, that I'm going to cover here is why exercise, when should you exercise, and how much should you do, how do you know when you've done too much, how when you know you haven't done enough, when should you put it into turbocharge and really push yourself? When should you back off? Why not heavy lifting? Because that's something that I definitely don't recommend. And why consistency matters. And these are some of the things I'm going to talk about. Also, the type of exercise that I found that really gave you more consistent losses and cause less frustration. Really, that's kind of, it's the baby in the bathwater syndrome, is that you get a great deal of benefit of adding exercise. Diet and exercise works. It's always worked. It always will work. This particular protocol works extremely well with or without exercise, but the dividends you're putting into it, that you're putting in while exercising in phase 2, 3, and 4, they pay bigger dividends in phase 4, and I'm going to talk about that as well. Because people, I'm the impression that Dr. Simmons' original protocol, that he said not to exercise, that it would cause, lackluster weight loss numbers, what have you. And really, I've read his manuscript several times backwards and forwards, because I really wanted, especially that section, because I really wanted to understand why exercise wasn't allowed. It just didn't. At first, I thought it was just common sense, because if you're having such a low calorie diet, you wouldn't have the energy to exercise, and that would just, cause you more fatigue and more hunger. But after, once you physically have gone through this protocol, you realize that, fatigue and hunger is really not one of the main issues here, especially when you're using pharmaceutical real HCG. Therefore, what was the reason? And I read through the paragraph, which was a very short paragraph on exercise, and he basically talked about doing strenuous exercise, things that your body wasn't used to for, you know, for long durations of time. That could cause some edema, some, you know, your body holding on to some water, and would basically show up in the scale. And if you were someone who is really, you know, caught into the motivation, the daily motivation of seeing pounds come off the scale, and that's what drives you, adding exercise into your regimen, either, you know, a few weeks into it or at the very beginning or later, can cause you some kind of emotional anguish. And it's really emotional anguish. It's not physical anguish. Your body actually loves the exercise. But if you're really addicted to the scale, it really can pay havoc on your emotional state of being, of how well you think you're doing on the protocol. And it caused a lot of people to either give up or quit on the protocol or stop exercising, which in essence doesn't pay dividends later on in their phase two and their phase three and phase four. So I'm going to go through some of the exercises that I think work well and why, and which ones I think don't. It's like any exercise, depending on who you are and how often you do it and your level of fitness before you even start this protocol, makes a difference. So none of the things we're going to tell you are hard, fast, you know, got to do rules, but it all depends on your fitness level. It's not uncommon for many people to start a diet and exercise program at the same time. It's like, you know, they haven't exercised in quite some time, and they're suddenly going to start this new protocol, and they're going to start exercising and kind of have this whole new leash on life, and realize very quickly that it becomes frustrating for many, and there's a reason for that. So first I'd like to do, because I get too far into the show, I'd like to do a sound check. I find out I'm talking for an hour and you couldn't hear me. So just, if you can hear me, if you've been here before, just press one on your phone. That throws your hand up real quick and lets me know that you can hear me. And then press it again to put your hand down. And that knows that the audio is okay. You can hear me okay. So can you do that for me, please? Press one on the phone. Thank you very much. All right. So that gives me the go ahead to move forward. Hopefully we won't have any technical issues this weekend. I mean, last week, the internet dropped the call twice. So if that happens, just know I will be trying to dial back in as quickly as possible, so don't hang up the line. I will come back unless for some reason it just completely goes out. But I don't know what was going on with the router, but last week we had some technical issues. All right, so talk about exercise, because I'm excited that people are starting to get the message that diet and exercise does work, and it works for this protocol as well, but you have to go about it in a very strategic way. And there was a reason why we put together the high-intensity interval training workouts for our kids. We didn't give you that stuff and just to make it more, I guess, more action-packed or have a filler. It's really because these exact exercises was able to have us transform our bodies. And even though I spent time in the gym, you know, before I started this protocol, I would spend a lot of time in the gym lifting heavier weights, doing the typical, you know, body type builder workouts and sets, and I was getting stronger, but I still looked like, you know, well, I would say a mini sumo wrestler or whatever. I mean, I still looked like I had the man boobs and the pot belly. It wasn't going away. So I had bigger arms maybe and a bigger chest cavity and neck, but in essence, I still looked out of shape in the nude with the shirt off, and that's all that really mattered. It was not until I actually implemented the high-intensity interval trainings and actually watched my body every week. And it's like we put them together because everybody has a different fitness level. So we put together – so if you're a beginner, or even if you had limited mobility, or if you had injuries, or if you're older, that it was just to start getting your body in the active mode, very slowly getting it active, and then it got more intense as you went to week two and week three and then obviously phase three. But also it was there for those who already were in pretty decent shape, who were used to working out regularly, who's had a few pounds, you know, 20, 30 pounds they needed to lose, but they weren't in really bad shape. And how they made these same exercises more challenging is that they either took out or minimized all the rest in between sets, sped up the process to basically get their heart rate up, and it made it more intense. And so you can make the exercise either as moderate as you want it to be or as intense as you want it to be, even though it was the beginning exercises. In the very beginning, it's just body weight exercises, and then we gradually started going to resistance bands, and then later went to lifting a little bit of weight. So there's a reason for the progression, because your body needs to get adjusted to the exercises and working out, and you don't want to tear down the muscles too much to cause edema, which causes the scale to go up and down throughout the week, which causes frustration. So now I'm going to give you the top exercises, and they're not in any particular order, but these are the things that either my family members, myself, Janie, myself, have done throughout these protocol phases to see which worked well and which ones didn't and which ones really kind of gave us some frustration and problems. So the high-intensity interval training, which I just talked about, the HIIT workouts, the reason why they work well is because they're short they're short sustained. You only do them for anywhere as little as 6 to 26 minutes to 30 minutes max, depending on your fitness level. And they're designed to engage all the muscle parts. Basically, they're full-body workouts where they engage all the muscle groups on any given day, and basically enough to push the muscle push the muscle enough to where you're getting the flexion, you're getting the resistance, mm-hmm. the body weight resistance, but you're not causing so much tearing down the muscle that you have that water weight that you experience every other day. CrossFit, another short burst, lightweight type exercise regimen. Yoga, Bikram yoga. Where you're in a very hot room sweating. I mean, that is phenomenal. And it's also, if you've ever done yoga before, holding your body up in downward dog and holding these poses, it takes breathing. You have to breathe. It takes strength. You actually get very, very strong. And there's some people that are just enormously strong or look very lean. I mean, Madonna's one of them, and all she does is yoga. So, I mean, that's an excellent exercise. Pilates, which is also great. That's one thing I have not done is Pilates, but I've had people that do it regularly and have great success. Mixed martial arts workouts and stretching and training, the grappling, that type of pushing and pulling and tugging and having to use your body weight strength for long periods for 3 minutes at a time and the engaging the muscle and the cardio at the same time. Boxing workouts are excellent because you're actually doing strength, their body weight exercise, using the legs, using the whole body, and you're also getting the cardio and getting the heart rate up. Let's see, insanity. Insanity, people, everybody wants to loves insanity. That's the new craze right now. Insanity is a great workout, but it's a great workout if you've been used to doing it before you start the protocol. If it's something you've been doing for a few weeks, minimum 2 weeks before you start the protocol, your body will just adjust and continue to keep going to that intensity level without too much problems. If you start the insanity program without having any kind of base and haven't done any type of exercise recently, you're going to find yourself having some fatigue, some edema problems. It may be a little bit too out there because it does push you a lot on those workouts. But I like them enough to say yes because of the fact they're short enough to where you're not going the long durations. And that's pretty much on my list, and I'm sure there's a couple I haven't forgot about. Now, people say, what about P90X? P90X are great workouts for phase 3 and beyond, but for phase 2, I think the duration is way too long. An hour to an hour and a half workouts are way too long for this protocol with the amount of calories and even with the stored fat. It just seems to take too much out of the average person unless you've been doing it for a while. Like I said, if any exercise you've been doing before you decide to take on this protocol, your body's going to adjust fine. If you are athletic before the protocol ever starts, you're going to be fine. If you're starting the regimen and you're starting to work out and you haven't done it consistently for a while, and so working out is not like, oh, yeah, you went to the gym once last month. That's not considered you someone who exercises on a regular basis. If you're not exercising normally 2 to 3 times a week before you get on this protocol, starting the exercise 2 to 3 times a week, doing something highly intense is not a good idea because you should really go and the reason why it's not a good idea because you don't realize that it's not a good idea in week one because almost anybody who follows this protocol even slightly correctly within the first week is going to have some pretty good success, and that's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because you're getting excited, you're motivated, you definitely want to continue to see your body lose, but it doesn't let you know you're making the mistakes as readily and as clearly as it will in phase two and week two and week three and beyond. So anything that you may be doing that may not exactly be conducive to consistent weight loss, and we're talking about consistent weight loss, we're not talking about overall weight loss, consistent weight loss. Anything you could be doing in week one, in the first 7 to 10 days, for example, there may be some things that your body's actually experiencing edema, but you're losing so much weight and so much water weight and so much, your body's kind of shocked into this whole new thing going on with your hormone levels being, you know, shifted, and you're getting these hormones releasing stored fat, and you're getting all this fat, and your body's, you know, it's just it's getting all this clean fuel, and it's detoxing, so it's just pouring everything, all the crap out of it as fast as it can. You see people have major, ridiculous losses within the first week, and it doesn't give them a real good barometer of how the rest of the protocol is going to go if they're doing something wrong, or if they're doing something that's not working for them. Exactly. I would say wrong, but it's not working for them. So that's why I'm not a big fan of the P90X today when it comes to phase two, unless you have been an avid user of the P90X. And even if you have been, you still got to cut it back, because an hour and a half of that kind of high intensity workout is going to cause either edema, hunger, or fatigue at some point. And you got, in order to figure out what you're doing exactly is causing these problems, you got to know your level. I got to know your level of intensity. And so it's very hard for me to judge when someone says, "Look, I'm working out, I'm exercising, I'm eating what I'm supposed to be eating, I'm doing the right things, and I'm not losing any weight." And it's very hard for them to determine, unless I see with my own two eyes, how intense their exercises are. So it's really hard to kind of to determine what's really causing the problem. So why exercise in the first place? I mean, ultimately, the real truth of the matter is that exercise, even though you do get increased inches lost and increased overall pounds lost because of you're burning more calories, it's really depositing money into your savings account for phase three and for the phase four of your life. Our goal, when you have exercising from week one, day one, is because your hormones are being balanced. You know, for some of you are getting, I mean, most of you are getting either uptick or balancing of the hormones, the estrogens in the body. So your body's in a key position hormonally to actually build more muscle. So that was one of the reasons why we said phase two was a great time to do that, especially for men. However, you're really paying the dividends. For the goal is, for every 20 pounds you lose, you're basically trying to put on or to develop 4 to 5 pounds of muscle. And so if you have a lot of weight to lose, the good news is that you're going to be putting on a lot of muscle, and that muscle is basically the turbo engine that keeps your metabolism on turbocharged for when you suddenly start to go eating the normal calorie intake for you, for your BMR. So a lot of people don't realize that the time you're putting in for the first 6 weeks, or, you know, three, six, or 12 weeks that you're in phase two, depending on how much weight you need to lose, you really are depositing money into your savings account to help your body maintain its weight once you get off the protocol. And this is why I really want people to get the message about working out. And this is what you know, the Dr. Oz show finally brought to light. And I was so happy they did that, because the fact is, you know, everyone's been poo-pooing exercise on this protocol that's going to cause you to get hungry, you're not going to feel good, you don't have the energy for it, you're not going to lose as much weight. And if you think about it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But really important, it was like, realize that people's metabolisms functioned more normally when they had more muscle mass, especially for men and women. And women seem to kind of miss this part of it, that they don't realize they need muscle. You need muscle too. And especially the older you get, you need the more you need to concentrate on building muscle, because your metabolism is slowing down for all of us, even for men and women. But especially women, you need to really focus on the fact that lean muscle mass is your friend as far as keeping your body at the size you want to keep it once you're done with this protocol. And this is why you see a lot of people, they lose a lot of weight, they look great, and then they can't understand why they're rapidly gaining their weight back. Number one, some people lost muscle, depending if they weren't using the real HCG, and the fact that just if you did exercise beforehand, and all of a sudden you stopped exercising suddenly because you said you can't exercise on this protocol, your muscles are going to start to atrophy. You're going to actually start to slow down your metabolism. So coming from an athletic person to becoming a sedentary person and basically doing nothing or maybe barely walking because that's what you were told to do, it's actually counterproductive. And that's why I want to get this – that's why I think this show is so important, that you guys are going to get the idea that exercise is important, but it's to get that it's really for paying dividends later in the protocol, the more important dividends. Now, for you guys, your exercise, you want to see it pay off. Like for me, I run, and I don't particularly like running, but when I'm on protocol, I run. And if I'm not, when I want to get my body to start responding and to lose weight, I run. Because for me, when I run, I get instant dividends. I can basically run 3-4 miles, come back and my body, I've dropped 2 pounds. And then I play a game with myself to monitor my eating to keep that 2 pound loss until the next day. And that seems to work for me. And I'll tell you about that a little bit in a minute. But there's certain exercises that are going to pay dividends and certain exercises aren't going to pay dividends. And so the reason why I gave you this list is because all of them are short in length. I mean, no, usually not more than an hour. Usually you don't go to yoga for more than an hour. Bikram sometimes can be an hour and a half, but literally the sweat, you know, the sweat and the detox of the whole process is pretty amazing. I can't really tolerate it. It's very difficult for me, but my wife loves it. But these type of exercises will pay dividends, and it'll give you consistency in your losses as long as you're being consistent. People have a really good tendency to get the idea they're going to start exercising. They've been losing really well in week one. They're all psychologically, you know, psyched up because they've lost, you know, 7, 8, 10 pounds, and they were losing 2 pounds a day. They go and they work out, and they just go to the gym, and they're like the weekend warrior, and all of a sudden the brakes come on, and they go, crap, I just gained weight. It must have been my workout. Well, that's probably why they tell you not to work out on this protocol. That just messed me up. And even though that a couple of days later it balances themselves out, just the shock of watching the scale not move or the frustration or the mental anguish to go through, they go, you know what, that wasn't pleasant. That didn't feel good, so I'm not going to do that again. And it's really the worst thing you could possibly do to yourself. All right, my computer screen kind of shut down again. Worst thing you can do to yourself. So consistency is the key. That anything you start, you must finish. So if you're not going to exercise on this protocol, don't exercise. Don't exercise. From day one, walk. I mean, they said minimum acceptable exercise just to mobilize more fat and kind of help your sweat glands release some of the fat cells. You got to walk for a minimum of 45 minutes to an hour a day. And be consistent with that. Just walk 45 minutes to an hour a day. But if you are going to – if your goal is to not only lose weight but keep the weight off easily and have your body metabolism go back to normal. And normal is you can eat normal meals and normal calorie intake, and your body dispels it and uses the fuel that needs to use it as fuel and stores very little fat. And that's what we all want. You all want your metabolism to go to a place where, as long as you're not constantly overloading it with calories every single day with more than your body can actually process and burn up, that it's going to be a lot easier for you to maintain your weight. If you're not going to work out, then don't. If you are going to work out, then if you start it, you got to finish what you start. That means consistency. And regardless of what the scale does on any given day, I promise you, if you're consistent, it'll pay off. And this is the thing. I have people that, you know, that have our protocol in front of them, and they say they're working out. Then I go, are you doing our workouts? They go, no, I'm doing something else. And I don't have a problem with you doing something else, but this is, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you're baking a cake and you got your grandmother's recipe of baking the best chocolate cake that you've ever tasted, and you have your grandmother's recipe, and you're going to bake this cake, and you're going to follow the recipe. You're going to open the recipe book, and you're going to follow every teaspoon, you know, whatever, every gram or everything she says to put in, you're going to put in there just how she says to do it. Now, if you are a seasoned baker, or you're somebody who's really good at baking, then you have an idea, well, you know, I'm going to add a little bit of cinnamon, I'm going to add a little bit of this to change a little flavor, a little bit to make it my own. And because that's your area of expertise, you could probably get away with changing the recipe a little bit and still coming out with a really great chocolate cake. But if you've never baked before, and you've literally never baked anything before, or you've never baked this particular cake before, and you're following the recipe, and then you go, well, you know what, it says put in a pinch of salt, and you're going to, well, you know what, salt, you know, salt, it gives you that spicy flavor. I'm going to put in a teaspoon of salt or a tablespoon of salt, and you keep kind of adding your own little thing to it because you go, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Just put a little bit here, a little bit there. Your cake may not turn out as nice as grandma's. Actually, it may taste pretty bad because some of the things you added that you thought you were going to add just a little bit more of was just the wrong thing to make that particular cake taste good. Like, I always get weirded out when we're making like waffles or something, and it says, you know, put in a pinch of salt or a teaspoon of salt. I'm like, teaspoon of salt? That's going to be – I mean, I'm making something to be sweet. And I'm thinking, that's just going to – that doesn't make any sense to me. And I go, that's somehow going to ruin it. But for whatever reason, that salt does what it needs to do. I don't know what it needs to do, but all I know is that's what the recipe says. So the reason why I'm giving you this analogy is because when we put together our system – I put it together because I wanted to say, look, people said, a friend of mine said, tell me exactly what you did for you to get to for you to look the way you look. I said, exactly? I said, yeah, I want to know exactly what you did. That means I want to know exactly what you ate. I want to know exactly what you did as far as cardio. I want to know exactly what you did as far as exercises. And I want to know that. I said, okay. So we put together, literally went and put this all together. And I said, this is exactly what I did. This is exactly what Janie did. This is exactly what my stepson Chad did. This is exactly what my daughter did. This is exactly what my daughter-in-law Lisa did. This is exactly what everyone in our family who first experimented this did. And the ages at the time were from 17 to mid-20s, 17 to mid-20s to mid-30s, and we were in our mid-40s, right? At least Janie was in her mid-40s. I was in my late 40s. So we all had different age groups, but we all did the same, followed the same exact formula, the same exact recipes, the same exact exercise regimen. We all lived in the same house. Kids moved in with us. So we all lived in the same house. So we all followed the same recipe, and we all, almost all of us, I mean, Lisa kind of bugged out early and couldn't hang, but the rest of us got the same results. In words, we lost tons of inches, tons of body fat, got lean, got muscular, got ridiculously strong in a very short period of time. So when I have people say, well, do you mind if I don't follow yours, but I'll follow this other workout? And I go, you know, I'm not ego invested in you following my exercises. The only thing is that I know these work. And I don't know if the workout you're doing is going to work. So when I hear people doing, you know, I'm doing a kettlebell workout and I'm doing this type of workout and I'm doing, you know, I'm lifting weights and I'm doing, you know, I'm going heavy on these days and lights on these days, and then I get the, you know, I understand I'm not losing weight, I'm losing inches, but I'm not losing pounds, and I understand my numbers are slow, and we have to go through the entire diary of what you're eating, what you're drinking, and what you're doing, because intensity level is very hard to judge. Like I said earlier, it's very hard to figure out what's working, what's not. So I'm going to tell you what works, okay? And you can choose to do any combination of these or anything you want, but just know that if, in fact, you're not getting the same results, if you're not getting consistent weight loss, if you're getting edema every other day, every time you work out, that after that you're stalling for 2 days or 3 days or sometimes longer, you may want to look at what I'm talking about. Because of the fact, all I have is the recipe that works. And I have personal knowledge of things that don't work and didn't work for me, and I'll tell you why, or what didn't and why. But I just want you to know that there's a reason for why we do what we do. There's a recipe. There's a slow process of getting each person to their, you know, starting from where they are, where their level of fitness is, and getting them gradually to where they build on themselves to get to the point where they're not doing too much. All right, so the next question I asked myself was, we said, why should you exercise? I already talked about why exercise. When should you exercise? You know, that's always a good question. And for me, the biggest dividends paid are in the morning, preferably in the morning on an empty stomach, burning negative calories. You know, one of the words I coined in my book and in our protocol was negative calories. That my goal was that I was going to produce negative calorie intake in my mind and in my body every day on protocol. And what that looked like was, I knew that if I spent 30 minutes on the treadmill at 15% incline at 3.2 to 3.6, depending on as I got stronger, miles per hour, that my body size and type would burn 500 calories, a little lower, sometimes a little shy, but usually around 500 to 525 calories. And I go, okay, I'm taking in 550. So I know that every day, if I'm taking it 550 on cardio days, I'm burning 550, as close to as I can get. So I have negative calories. So bottom line is my body's forced to only burn the abnormal fat that's coming through my body because I've already burned up the calories I'm ingesting. And then on strength training days, I gave myself 200 calories and extra protein because I learned from all these bodybuilding books that I've been reading for all these years that you got to burn the fat and feed the muscle. In order for you to feed the muscle, you got to feed the muscle at the right time in order for you to get the best benefit of your workout. So best time for me and the best time for most people is on an empty stomach first thing in the morning. I also ended up doing double sessions as I got later on into the, you know, week three of the protocol, and I started really feeling good and I started losing a lot of weight and just feeling stronger. I was just now beginning obsessed with the possibility of having a six pack. So I would do my cardio in the morning, my treadmill, and then I would do my workouts on the days I worked out, and then I would run a couple miles because now I could run again. I was like, wow, I can run. This is a new lease on life. So I took advantage of it and I ran. And those would pay dividends. And what I mean is that I would, and I'm not telling you guys to do this, unless you really are strong-willed and strong in mind, that I would get on the scale after I ran, took a shower, I'd get out of the shower. And I say after the shower because I don't know what it is, but you weigh yourself before you get in the shower and you weigh yourself after you get out of the shower. And I always weigh like a quarter pound or a half pound less. I don't know what, I don't know if dirt or sweat weighs that much, but it seems like it's the freakiest thing. It happens all the time. So you just weigh yourself when you get out of the shower, and I would see that I had a net loss of something. So I would say, I ran today and I got out of the shower and I was down 2 pounds. So well, that gives me, I look at that and I go, that's okay. That's the number I want to see on the scale tomorrow morning. So I write down, not only did I write down when I got up in the morning, I wrote down the weight I was when I got up and weighed in. I also write down the next tomorrow's date and the weight that it showed up on the scale after my cardio. Because I'm pre-projecting into the future that tomorrow morning I'm going to be at that weight. Because I figured 2 pounds, if I'm anything less than that, it doesn't matter because that's still a loss of over a pound and a half if I'm less than 2 pounds. But that's for me. Because it also gives me a glimpse because now I go, okay, look, if I'm clean, I eat really clean, and I eat the portion I'm supposed to eat, I'm already in negative calories. I've already burned my 500-plus calories for the day. That if I just eat the calories I'm supposed to eat, I'll get that number on the scale. And let me tell you, I get that number 7 out of 10 times. 7 out of 10 times. Because psychologically, I'm now in the zone. I've already seen the future. And someone said, you know, if you just did this today or ate this today or did some task, and then tomorrow morning somebody would give you a check for $10,000, it'd be a lot easier for you to stay on point knowing that tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and have a check for $10,000. Well, to me, a 2-pound-a-day loss, and if I can somehow magically create that average, that's worth your $10,000 to me. So I look at the future and I go, okay, that's what I want from the future. And 7 out of 10 times, I can pull that off. But it also takes doing the work. It means I had to do my cardio. I had to do my exercise. So morning time on an empty stomach, preferably. If not, eating time after dinner, walk it off or jog it off after an hour. You know, it's like some people, you know, eat before they exercise before they eat, and then they kind of go to bed. I figure you eat, give yourself some rest time, then take a walk with your spouse or your dog or your family and walk, you know, walk 30, 40 minutes. Walk it off. You don't even have to run. Just walk it off. Put those calories back into the bank so you go to bed on negative calories or wake up on negative calories. You follow where I'm coming from? I hope so. Hope I make any sense. All right. How much time do I have? Short. Okay. Let's see. How much should you do? You know, this question is really easy to answer. Listen to your body. Bottom line. Your body speaks very loudly to us as human beings. Fatigue is your body speaking to you. Excess soreness is your body speaking to you. It's someone saying, hey, guess what? It was a great workout yesterday. You really used some muscle that I haven't used in a while. And I'm probably going to be sore tomorrow, and I'm probably going to show up a little water on the scale tomorrow. So don't freak out if I don't lose anything tomorrow, don't freak out because I'm a little sore from the great workout I just did. But guess what? I'll make it up. It'll come back to me on the third day or the day after that. We'll see what numbers are. And that's a conversation. So you need to listen to your body. If you're tired, you start getting extra hungry, and all of a sudden you're looking at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're like, man, I can't wait till dinner. You know, wow, I'm thinking about food. That's a sign you're doing too much. Listen to your body. So if you got pain, soreness, it's a good thing, but just know that there may be a with those dividends you're investing, you may have to have a temporary hold on your check. Okay, hold on your deposit. And if you're feeling tired or hungry, it means you got to cut it back a little. It doesn't mean stop. It means cut it back. So you look and go, what did I do yesterday? Oh, I worked out for 45 minutes, and I did the elliptical, and I did the treadmill. Well, guess what? Let's leave the elliptical out, or let's cut the workout to 30 minutes and just do the treadmill. That's plenty, and let's see how I feel. Does it make sense? All right. How do you know you're not doing enough? This way. If you're not breaking a sweat every day, I don't care. Even a brisk walk outside in cold weather, you sweat. So if you're not getting your body to perspire at some point. And I try to give people visuals, and this is the reality of it. You lose fat through your urine. I mean, you got your, every time you're going to pee 1,000 times a day on this protocol, you got fat cells pouring out of your body. When you sweat, you got fat cells pouring out of your body. And then you know, in the last one, you know, your waste system, very little fat goes there. So you got sweat and you got urination. The urination part is kind of, it's kind of out of your control, but the sweat part is. So if you're not sweating, you're not losing, not as quickly. You will still lose, okay, but I'm talking about if you want to get the fastest results in the shortest period of time and look the best you could ever look, you got to be willing to do the work. And I know everyone kind of started thinking about this diet protocol being the lazy man's protocol. Guess what? You can just do this stuff. You don't have to do nothing. You just follow the plan, eat the food, and you're going to be perfectly fine. And you'll lose weight. You will. But the point is that when you get to the point where things are not moving and you're stalling and you're at a previous weight set point and your body is refusing to get past that, the only thing I know to get past that is pushing through it by doing the work. Okay? When should you put it into turbocharge? The example I just gave you, each and every one of us at some point in time is going to come up against previous weight set points. And hold on a second, guys. So, sorry, I had to have dogs in here that are crying and whining and losing my concentration. Anyway, when should you turbocharge? So if you're always going to come up against a time where, in fact, that you're going to be pushing up against a previous weight set point. It's where your body has sat at a certain weight for a long period of time. It could be 3 months. It could be 3 years. It could be 30 years. And as you start to lose weight and come down the scale back to your natural body weight, you're going to come up against this resistance. It's natural. Your body's kind of going, wait a minute, whoa, I feel comfortable here. We've been here before. Wait a minute, this is where you're supposed to be. Don't stay with me. And you're like, no, I don't want to be here. I want to be at my 130 pounds or my 180 pounds or whatever the case may be. So those are the times where you're going to come up against a very stubborn resistance point. It's going to look like a stall. It's going to be a stall for a very long period. It could be a very stubborn stall. So that means it could last past the 3 days. You could do an apple day, and your body can go, no, not water. I don't care. I'm not ready to get past this. I'm telling you, I've been there, and the only thing that got it through was intense cardio. I had to go run because running pays dividends. I had to get even more tight about my actual diet protocol. But I had to go run, or I had to do some sort of cardio, something that was going to force my body to burn more calories than it wanted to hold on to, until I finally was able to break through that wall. And sometimes it takes a couple of days of being consistent about that, working out a little bit harder, doing the work. I'm going to come back to doing the work, because this is a protocol that requires work. It requires effort. It requires you to think about the food you're putting into your body, putting the right portions, the right combinations, drinking water, you know, having the right amount of water in there, and being consistent about that every single day, one day at a time, for as many days as you need to get your natural body weight. Okay? Let's see. Wow. When should you back off? I kind of talked about that. You back off when you're injured. You back off when you're tired. You back off when you're on your period, ladies. You back off when you're pre-period and your body's starting to swell and bloat and it doesn't want to move, and it's already under duress, so you want to just back off. I tell you, I tell the ladies that, you know, look, I'm getting my monthly cycle, my Tom, my friend, my wife calls it Aunt Flo, getting this bitch is coming again, and it's holding on to my weight. I can't get past. Well, just relax. You know what? This is the time you go in the sauna. You just kind of soak it out. You get in the bath. You do the detox baths. You eat very clean. You stay on protocol. You try to make sure you can control any cravings you may be having, and you let your body do what it needs to do. The more you push up, you get more resistance from resistance versus flow, right? So you just want to let it flow. And flow, kind of funny. Let it flow and just let your body do what it needs to do. Once it's already processed, you know, and letting go, and you finally get your period, you know, usually most women feel better once they get it, and your body will start to release weight as well. Constantly trying to put yourself under stress of why the scale is not moving, you can't get it to move. The more stress you cause on your body, the more resistance you get from your body. So the fat flows there, as Janie would call it, let flow go. Just let it go and just kind of meditate and take it easy. Take a sauna, take a massage, do whatever you can do for yourself to pamper yourself. Let it go 2, 3, 4 days. It'll pass, then you go about your business. Okay? Why not heavy lifting? You know what, this question, trust me, I wanted heavy lifting to work so bad, because I got a lot of, you know, bodybuilders are starting to get that this protocol can be really used for cutting. And if you are a bodybuilder or someone who likes to hit the gym heavy, you know, it feels good. It feels good being able to push up heavy weight, especially for us men. I don't know about the women, but it feels good to be able to push up heavy weight. The problem is that you get a lot of edema, a lot of muscle soreness, a lot of tearing down of the muscles, which means that the scale bounces all over the place, and it sticks, and it stalls, and it bounces up 2 pounds. And you're like, what? Where is that from? And then it stays there for a couple of days, and it comes down. I think probably in the long run, building all that muscle probably would pay off for someone, but for someone who's trying to lose weight, lose inches, and just needs that feedback that I'm doing something right, heavy lifting is a mental disappointment. If, in fact, you're not caring about how many pounds you lose, how many inches you lose, you just know you're going to lose it, it'll take as long as it takes, and you love lifting, great. But I'm telling you right now, cycling, even for someone who knows, I mean, I freaking know what my body is doing, and I got to tell you that it freaks me out. Sorry, my computer keeps locking. So it freaks me out. So I did the heavy lifting test for about 3 weeks, ended up injuring my shoulder, ended up re-injuring my knee injury that I had for years. It may be that I'm 52 years old, and you know that, as my trainer says, sometimes that window has passed, and it, you know, you don't need to put on any more muscle, dude. Just keep lean and keep cut. But I wanted to see. I mean, my thing is that I don't tell you something unless I can prove it one way or the other. And I got to tell you that the heavy lifting, it takes a lot out of you. I was hungry, excessively hungry, and having to take in more calories just to sustain the fatigue and hunger that I was getting, which also was counterproductive to fat loss and inches lost along the way. So it really caused a very challenging and frustrating 3 weeks of my life. But I wanted to prove a point. Either it was going to work, or it wasn't going to work. I think it may work for the person, like I said, for the person who knows what they're doing for the right reasons. But if you're a person that is trying to lose weight and cut and get as lean as you can, and you want to be consistent with your weight loss numbers, you'll find it very frustrating to lift heavy weights, and you may injure yourself. And the injury that I ended up getting took me out of the gym for almost 3 weeks, which means it was ended up making it even worse for me, because now I couldn't do even the intensity stuff, high intensity stuff that I was doing. So I say stay away from heavy lifting on this particular phase. And then phase three, because the calorie restriction is not there, and if your body's strong enough, because like I said, for me, calories was one thing, hunger was one thing, fatigue was one thing, but also the tear down of my body, it couldn't take it. And that's just me and my age bracket. Some of you are younger, some of you are older, you know, your bodies are maybe different, but mine, and I think I'm in pretty good shape, it was tearing it down tremendously. Last is why consistency matters. I think I've already touched on that this protocol is about consistency, and that those who get the highest level of success are those who are consistent. And it's one thing I love about Dr. Simeon's protocol, that he just called people out, and he said he called the section is called liars and fools. And these are the people, and it doesn't make you bad people. I'm not talking about anybody, not pointing fingers at anybody, but these are the people that have a tendency to somehow con themselves into believing that they're doing all the things, the right things. They swear that they're not cheating, and they're not doing this, not doing that. And sometimes their concept of what cheating is because, number one, they may have the wrong information. They may be eating or ingesting or doing something that is not within the protocol that they didn't know, or they just don't realize that they don't think of it as that, or they really don't want to get their brain around it. And it was really interesting that he said there's just people that you, no matter how much you tell them they need to follow the guidelines, and somehow they create their own guidelines and they follow them and they swear by them, but they get the same frustrating results. So why consistency matters is that anything you do right or wrong for this particular protocol, not all diets, but this particular protocol, which is very sensitive in the menu, in the portions, in the way you go about it, and what you must do and must not do, if you consistently step outside of those lines, you're going to have inconsistent weight loss numbers. If you are consistent by following it one day at a time and doing whatever you're doing, you know, along the protocol lines, you're going to have consistent numbers. And I can tell you that normally, I mean, there are the anomalies out there. There's people that are just doing what they're doing, everything they're following the protocol to the letter, and they're just, their body's not responding to one reason or another. And usually it's not responding fast enough, or it's still responding, but not responding fast enough for them. But the majority of the people that have inconsistent numbers is because something in their protocol is inconsistent. It could be as simple as not drinking enough water consistently, or having a gallon today and a half gallon tomorrow. Especially for you ladies, you have a lot more fat cells than we do, and your fat cells will sop up that water, that lack of water, and go, okay, we're gonna be starving again or dying of thirst. I'm holding on to it, and it will show up on the scale. And those half pounds hurt, or they're a big deal. They're a big deal. So, you know, just think about half a gallon of water, not drinking a half a gallon water, taking a half a gallon less consistently every day could cause you to show or not show a half a pound loss on the scale. As simple as that. Some people have the, you know, what I call the lazy man's approach. And I do that not to insult people, but I like to give you guys a smack in the face visual of what I'm talking about. The lazy man's approach is eating the same two combinations of food because you want to cook all the chicken ahead of time and all the fish ahead of time, or all the turkey burgers or whatever, because it's convenient. And I understand the form of the theory behind it, because you're busy, you got work to do, but this protocol, I mean, our body is very, very smart. And once it figures out the first week or so that, you know, okay, you got something new you're doing, okay, cool. But when they start getting chicken and turkey every day for 3 weeks, pretty soon it's just like, you know what, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to work. I don't need to burn anything extra. I know exactly what's coming in and what's coming out. And if you don't think it mixing things up matter, you know, ask any of these trainers. I haven't done the same workout with my personal trainer once. And we've been working out together now, 3.5 months? I have not duplicated the same workout once. Why? He constantly keeps me guessing, constantly keeps my body guessing. There's a reason for that. And so if you're taking the lazy man's approach by eating the same combination of fruits and foods and vegetables every single day, that kind of consistency is going to give you inconsistent weight loss numbers. It's about variety. It's about, you don't eat the same foods every day in real life. You go and you have different varieties, you have different vegetable combinations, different fruit combinations. You know, you're limited to three. You switch them up. You know, have two grapefruits in a day instead of an apple, grapefruit, and strawberry, or have two apples, or have two strawberries, or have one of each. But, you know, the point is that mix it up. I mean, some of them are not as important as others. Obviously, proteins are more important than the carbs, but it's still consistency about being either inconsistent or about being consistent. I hope I didn't confuse you, but you know what I mean. So mix up your foods. And don't eat the same thing every day, and keep your body guessing along with your exercise. So I'm going to open up the lines here. We got only about 10 minutes to go. I did a short call today. I thought it was going to be a short topic, but I should know better that I'm very long-winded. But I hope that you guys get a better exercise, a better picture of exercise and what works and what doesn't. But whatever it is, whatever you choose to do, do it consistently. And if you're going to be doing something that's, you know, off of this list, and you're going to be going, you know, balls out, if you will, just know it's going to pay off in the long run. So, I mean, it may not pay off in the first couple of weeks. You may be frustrated. But once your body gets into that zone where it kind of understands and it's now raised to the level of the level of workout you're doing, your body's going to start dropping inches like crazy. And inches to me are more important than pounds. You know what? I'd rather weigh whatever I weigh and have a 32-inch waist than weigh 180 pounds and have a 42-inch waist. You know, so it's like really inches is what makes your clothes fit, not the pounds. Now they come together, they do a dance, they're married, so they have to kind of come together. But ultimately, when I hear people go, I only lost 3 pounds this week, and I go, how many inches you lost? Well, I lost 10 inches. Are you kidding me? Don't get stuck on the scale worship. It really can jack you up. All right, guys, so if you have any questions or comments you want to give, we got 10 minutes. We can kind of get a couple in. Sorry I went long-winded. I'll make a longer call next week. If not, I'll keep talking. But if you have a question or comment, you press 1 on your phone. It puts your hand up. It puts you on the top of the list, and then I can call on you and answer your question. If not, I'll fill the time until somebody does that. But press 1 on your phone. Put your hand up if you have a question. If not, I can close the show just by saying that, you know what, I'm tickled that exercise is now getting to be a buzz out there. I'm glad you guys are participating and starting to get active. The more active you get, the more pounds and inches you will lose, you know, in the short run and the long run. But keep in mind that with everything new, there comes some potential setbacks. And the setbacks of exercising too much or doing too much of something that it may be too strenuous for you at your level of fitness at this point in time, that you may see your body having to adjust. And it doesn't mean that it's bad for you. It just means that your body's trying to adjust. And so if you're one of those people that are exercising now and you're having increment weight loss numbers where you're gaining, you're losing, you're gaining, you're losing. So you look at the net week and you go, well, I lost 2, then I gained 1, and I lost 1, and I gained 3, and whatever. And at the end, you're like, I only lost 4 pounds. One thing, never say only in front of a loss. This is an attitude of gratitude that you're on by far the number one weight loss protocol that will change your life. It'll balance your hormones, balance your organs. You know, it'll get your cholesterol and your blood sugar all dancing the happy dance, and also give you the body of your life. But when you say only, you're telling the universe that you're not happy with the progress you're making, and what you get is more unhappiness. Every time I see the word, I only lost 4 pounds, or I only lost a pound, or I only lost 10 pounds, and sometimes people say only 10, believe it or not. I've gotten emails like that. I tell people, first you get past the only thing, because ultimately a loss is moving you closer and closer to your ultimate goal. And all you need to do is tweak it and figure out what's going to give you better losses. But, moving, even if you're moving in snail's pace towards your goal, it may be frustrating compared to what? Compared to someone else. But the point is, if you look at the scheme of things, most weight loss protocols on the planet today, even the ones that spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year in commercials advertising to us, none of them net more than 2 pounds a week on average. This protocol does numbers that are way beyond that. So I want you to lose the only, but also if in fact you find yourself exercising and you're getting some mixed results, switch it up a little bit. You know, go from the strength training, just go to straight cardio for the week and see how your body responds to just cardio. You know, ultimately, I want you to do a dance to what's going to get you into a rhythm where you're happy with the results you're getting every week, so you stay excited and motivated. The reason why I want you to engage muscle, because muscle is what's going to keep you in the body of your life once you're done with this protocol. It's the only thing that really is going to help your metabolism break down these foods and liquefy them as energy. And you can look as skinny as you want at the end of the day, but without any lean muscle mass, I got to tell you that's when you start going, well, I need to tuck this, I need to pull that. I mean, think about it. When you start filling that space with lean, sexy muscle, it's basically not only does it pick up your metabolism, it holds up your face, you get that nice glow to you. That's why you look younger, because your freaking muscles are starting to fill in and your body's starting to go back to its youthful look. I mean, that's why we lose muscle as we get older. Our body starts to atrophy and age and get, inflammation. And we have to be even more diligent about it, even more, more conscious about the muscle building process as we get older, because we're losing it, every day. So just be conscious. And we got a hand up here. We got how much time I got? 4 minutes. Okay, let's see. 513-662, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm new. I haven't started yet, but I would love to begin the protocol. I'm nervous because I don't know exactly what to do. I've been watching your videos and everything.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you use, that liquid shake that you have.
Protein shake?
Yeah, can you use that as a meal replacement?
Yes.
Oh, and it makes it kind of foolproof that way, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't make it foolproof. I'm not really a fan of liquid before food. This food, mm-hmm. this protocol is a protocol that teaches you portion control. You get an understanding very clearly in the first few weeks that your body it only needs a certain amount of real good fuel in order for it to function really well. The protein shake is not once again to create a lazy man's way of approach or make it foolproof. It's for you to use as a convenience if in fact food is not an option. Okay.
Oh, not so like one shake a day and then regular food.
Yeah, you don't want to turn this into a liquid diet. That's why, you know, people ask me about, you know, Body by Vi and what do I think about it. I say, you know what, I heard the products are maybe good. My problem is that you're training people to take shakes, liquid diet three times a day or four times a day, and they're not learning how to eat and manage your food. So great, they'll lose weight, and then what do? You gain it back because you don't know how to eat. This protocol shows you what portion control looks like. It shows you what real food does to your body when it's running on clean fuel. And by the time you're done with all four phases of this protocol, not only have you gotten reshaped, but your body has been your hypothalamus has reprogrammed your weight set point, you actually walk away understanding how your body responds to these types of foods and what foods you need to eat in the future in order to maintain your weight. So it's an education process here. So I don't want people to throw out that education by putting in shakes too often.
Well, also, too, I was curious about, okay, with such a rapid loss of weight, what about loose skin?
Well, you know, that's kind of genetics. You know, loose skin. When you see people that have a lot of loose skin, and I only got like a minute, 30 seconds, so I'll try to tell you. A lot of loose skin. If you're really, really heavy and you've been stressed out for a long time, it takes a while for your body, for that elasticity to come back. So if you're younger, it's a better chance for it coming back. But usually when you see people that lose weight rapidly and they look gaunt and they're hanging skin, they look like they're melting from the face down, is because they're losing muscle. And that's one thing about this protocol that makes it so amazing, is because the ACG does not know how to go after lean muscle mass. It only knows how to go after abnormal fat, the fat your body doesn't need in order for it to sustain itself. So when you're keeping your lean muscle, you're losing inches, losing fat, your skin is not falling because your muscle is not dropping. You're not losing muscle, very little muscle. And that's why people look really – they usually look younger – once they're done with the protocol, because they're actually their muscles staying in the same place, but the fat's gone.
Yeah, because I look at you and your wife's pictures, and I'm just like, goodness, I want to look like that.
You know, that's why I'm here today. This is why I'm here today, because if someone had told me that I would look the way I looked after this protocol, I'd have told them they're absolutely crazy. The only reason I'm here is because I got these amazing results and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. At this point, it was like, not only did people ask me, they were like, dude, you did something. What the hell happened to you? But I had to tell people because it was the most amazing transformation I've ever seen in my life. And now I've seen it happen, you know, 1,000 times over. So it's not like we're freaks. I mean, my wife and I, we're from two different parts of the world and two different genders, and we're both, I think, specimens for 52 years old. And I feel pretty good about myself at 52 years old.
Wow.
That she's turning 50 this year. So I got to tell you that this opens the door, but it takes work to keep it. I mean, you got to still spend time and exercising and gym and eating healthy, because it can all go away overnight. And trust me, I've had times where I've gained the weight back and I have to come back and do it again and kind of get serious. But ultimately, you know what? There's nothing I've seen that works as well as this does. I mean, there's nothing.
Are you guys going to come out with like a video, you know, as far as fitness at some point?
Well, you know what? Like I said, we just did our exercise videos out of our living room because we didn't want to show people this is exactly what we did in our house. There was no gym. There was no special equipment. This is what you do. You use this little bit of equipment, you can get it done. You know what? I mean, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, go to that extent, because that's not my level of expertise. You know, I'm not a personal trainer. My wife was a personal trainer for years. She retired. But, you know, it's possible. Right now, I just want people to understand the protocol, understand that if they just follow the system that's already laid out for them, it's really hard to fail. It really is.
Wow.
I mean, it's really hard to fail if you follow the system. All right, so I'm out of time, guys. I'm sorry if you finally put your hands up.
Do you have any coupons?
Coupons. Usually we have a sale or something coming up. I always email people on my list before we have a sale, guys. So if you're on our list,
I'm on your list.
You'll get the coupons.
I want to try this really bad. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your call.
Okay,
all right, guys. Out of time here. I got 30 seconds. Anyway, I really appreciate you being here. It's always, I can't do what I do without you. I hope I gave you some valuable information. Please keep using exercise in your protocol. Please keep spreading the word. You get lean, you get sexy, you get the body of your life, you feel terrific and amazing, and all I ask you to do is pay it forward. I'm more than happy to help anyone anytime with any part of their protocol. Just pay it forward to somebody else. So when someone asks you, look, how'd you do this amazing thing? Don't tell them you changed your eating habits and you kind of just, you know, were eating healthy. Don't tell them to go the hard way and the difficult way. Be honest. Tell them what you did, how you did it, and give them my number. I'm more than happy to help them. All right, guys, I got to go. Love you, bitches. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on if I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly.